Good morning. It's a Thursday. It's 11 o'clock. It's time for Green Zine with Henry Swayze and myself, Todd Tyson, jam-packed show. Let's dip into the good life. Rude Railroad Earth, based on a cover story, this week's 7 Days.
They got tired of living in an apple going black. Went up the Mad River Valley and they never looked back. Way up the mountain over Campbell Ridge. Up an old log and road across an old mill bridge.
That is Railroad Earth with a great song called The Good Life, and a cover story of this week's 7 Days called The Good Life about some back-to-the-land homesteaders of our current generation. You should check it out. I'm going to bring up a back-to-the-land guy in just a minute here on Green Zine at WFVR-LP in South Royalton. But first, let's acknowledge the folks that have helped keep our radio station going for more than 12 years and keeping this particular show, Green Zine, going for the same length of time. They would include Wit and Grit, also Solarfest. More about them maybe later in the show. Might not have time. First Branch Coffee Company, the Upper Pass Beer Company, our good friend who I just heard from the other day, the Lone Wolf Daniel Leibowitz down in D.C., Royal Trail Works, Bale, and Soliflect. Henry, would it be safe to say that you were sort of part of the back to the land movement?
Well, I wasn't knowingly that, but I was in fact that.
Right. They weren't calling it then that back then, but that's what you were doing. What year did you come here to Vermont?
1965. So that was just a year before the interstates opened.
Yep. Early adopter. Good for you.
Early adopter. Yes. We watched real estate prices go up 3% a month for 3 years running.
Wow. That is something.
That's what happens when you get an interstate or a broadband connection, all those things that make the city folks think they can reach into the backwoods.
Yeah, so maybe we need to keep mud season around because that will deter a lot of people who might want
to
come live in the hills.
A campaign to tear up all the blacktop.
There we go. Okay, we'll work on that over the next year or so. How are you doing up there in Burlington, Henry?
I am good, and we have a lot going on in this show, so we ought to get on with it.
Yep, let's launch. Yeah, what do you want to start with?
I think we start with spring and birds. Let's do the chickadees.
Yeah, let's take wing and check in with the birds, and then we're having a guest on in about 15 minutes or so, but a whole lot more to go, particularly with the big rallies that were held throughout Vermont, including here in South Royalton and in the capital city in Montpelier, as well as around the country. But right now on Green Zine, we are going to go to Bird Note. Only if I turn this off. Here we go.
Morning dew sparkles on the leaves of an eastern hardwood forest. It's May, and the chorus of spring birdsong is nearing its peak. The rich notes of a Carolina wren carry through the understory. A year-round resident, it's been singing since the end of winter. A chestnut-sided warbler joins in. It has returned from winter in Costa Rica to the same patch of woods in which it nested last year. Now, we hear a scarlet tanager. This striking long-distance migrant completed its journey from Bolivia in early May. There are the resounding notes of an ovenbird, letting us know it has returned safely from Belize after a long flight across the Gulf of Mexico. And the whistled notes of an eastern wood peewee are unmistakable. How different these woods must look to the peewee after a winter in the lowland forest of Peru. By late May, the last of the migrants has arrived from the tropics. All have journeyed across the continents, bringing us the gift of their songs. For Bird Note, I'm Mary McCann.
All right, Henry, have you noticed any particular birds arriving in our area, and particularly up where you are in the Queen City, that weren't there a week ago?
Well, I don't know if we've got new habitants. We're definitely seeing more of certain birds than we had earlier in the winter. And boy, are they busy flitting around and gathering food and making nests and doing mating calls. And we've had Carolina wrens, the one she started with, all through the winter. And there's a couple of them that live in our woodpile, which is right outside the kitchen window. So mm-hmm. we see them darting in and out. And they were calling early in the winter. Pretty amazing. So they start setting up territories and mating behavior very early, and they're astounding. They're a little bird, but when you hear them, you say it can't be that bird. It's too small. They just have a very big voice for a little tiny bird. So, yes. So. I commented on the chickadees, and that was an alternate for this program and probably will be next week's Bird Note. I have lots of information on chickadees.
Indeed. Yeah, the black-capped chickadee. So Henry,
that's
did you
–
I think I see in your order of business here, if we want to call it – this is all volunteer radio, so we don't really consider it business. We consider it fun here on Green Zine. But you attended the big hands-off rally up there in the capital city of Montpelier, and a lot of folks down here were red on the green in South Royalton, including our guest who we'll bring on here in just a moment.
Yes, indeed. I decided that I want to go to Montpelier, because Montpelier had quite an illustrious list of
speakers,
uh-huh. which we posted that list on last week's notes in hopes that people would show up. And I don't know if any of our listeners went to Montpelier, but it's certainly energy efficient to go to South Royalton, and there were so many sites. I've forgotten what the number was in Vermont, but there were many, many, many. Just in the Burlington area, there were three. And I chose to go to Montpelier. And I was really glad I did, because some of the people, so I came off the interstate to go into town and find parking. And I was there about 11:45 when it started. And the traffic entering Montpelier was backed up almost all the way to the interstate exit. There were, some people quoted 15,000 people in Montpelier. I spoke with someone from the Public Works Department who kind of was managing shutting down traffic and obviously was an old hand at doing these events. And I said, how does this stack up against other events? And he said, well, we had more on 4th of July.
Oh.
But that was about it. So,
Well, remind us of some of the speakers. You said there was an illustrious line of speakers, because we had some pretty solid speakers here in South Royalton. Who was there? Just a couple of names.
Well, Madeline Kunin led it off.
Okay.
And then it went on. Let's see. I'll give you the list as we published it last week, which is on our Green Sea Notes. Senator Peter Welch, Lieutenant Governor John Rogers.
John Rogers,
And Senator Kersha Ram Hinsdale, who was excellent. Treasurer Mark Pichak, who's also good. And there was someone who was not on this list that was there who I wanted to hear from. So that it went on. I mean, let me just read down the list, and then we'll hear a clip from
our Attorney General.
And as I say, she wasn't on the list, the original list. Dr. Nicole Groyal, who's the author and former senior policy advisor to the U.S. Department of Education, a poet and performer, Tosinat St. Negrete.
That's Negrete? A tongue twister there, Henry. Yeah.
Don't know. I'm tongue twist by a lot of people's names. Dr. Kathy Bullock, who is professor emeritus of music at Berea College, and she led a singing group. And Ale Zene, Centromont Refugee Action Network, and I believe she also got us all singing. And it was very heartening to be among all of those people. And there were so many people who made their own signs, and there were some stock signs available on the Hands Off website that you could print out and use. And I guess I saw one of those, but almost everything were people's personal takes.
Right, DIY.
And I thought we would maybe go through some of those. And I have posted a group of photographs on the Green Zine links page of 84 signs that I took pictures of. And I might start with the very first one that I think sort of set the tone. And it was a quote from Donald Duck. Now we're fucked. And then on to another one that said,
hey, Henry, before you go any further, just in case the FCC inspector is behind my shoulder, don't necessarily do a sign that has that word, okay?
All right. Sorry about that. And I might say the sign had a dash in it instead of the entire word spelled out.
Oh, okay. So okay.
The sign was politer than I am.
All right.
And then another one that I thought captured the mood. If you are not angry, you're not paying attention. And then another from a woman who has, my sign is not nearly big enough to list all of Trump's S word actions that will ruin our country. And a very simple one, stand with the facts. And then another woman with kind of a planet Earth on her sign. Destroy oligarchy, not the Earth.
I was going to ask you, in general, did you see many signs? So here, just to remind folks, in case they didn't know this, that I believe right now at our website, in addition to seeing some of the photos that Henry said, and it's okay to see those words in the photos on our website, but also at our website should be an edited tape of the remarks that were made here on the green at the Hands Off rally. So if you go to WFVR.org, you can check out the Green Zine links, but you can also go to the replay site and look for SoRo Rally, and I think the date is there, so it probably says 4/5/25 SoRo Rally, and you can hear some of the remarks that were made there, most notably by Dean Shirley Jefferson, a law professor that works with veterans. There were some great comments about what's going on with deportations, illegal deportations, and the immigration situation. Also, some Native American concerns from Earl Hatley. So all that is up at our website, Henry. Do you want to touch base on just a couple more signs? We're up to 17 minutes past the hour.
Yeah, well, we'll probably get on with our guest here shortly. Yes, I'll do just a couple more.
Okay.
Musk is coming for all of us. And we'll end with this one. Practice politics of hope. So there were all nature of directions that people were pulling in. And if we get time at the very end of the program, we will look at a book which has come out on tyranny. And there was a woman there, which I have invited to come on Green Zine, so we may hear from her in the future.
Oh, great.
She had the 20 points to pay attention to on tyranny. And we'll, if we have time at the end, there's a link to that book. And I picked out some of those points that we might be able to go over.
Yeah, let's get to that. Do we want to hear these comments that were made by Attorney General? She is actually qualified, unlike some other attorney generals in the country, to be in her position. Do we want to hear that five-minute snippet and then bring on our guest?
Sure, if that works for the guest, let's do it.
Are you rushing out the door?
I think it'll work for the timing. No,
I think she's pretty flexible. So let's hear from Attorney General Charity Clark, if this kicks in. These are remarks she made last week during the hands-off event in Montpelier, Vermont. You're tuned to Green Zine at Royalton Community Radio.
Against tyranny. Against chaos. Against oligarchy. The power that I have as Attorney General in this moment is great. And rest assured, I will use that power to protect you and the country we love. As Attorney General, I am the person who represents this sovereign state of Vermont. I represent the state in court, and when the Trump administration violates the Constitution or federal law, I sue. Yeah. That Donald Trump has been president, I have sued him a lot. Yeah. States, I will be there. Across this country, my fellow Democratic Attorneys General have joined me in showing that collaboration and our united passion for upholding the rule of law can stop the Trump administration. The birthright citizenship ban, remember that, has been blocked. The federal funding freeze, blocked. The freeze of NIH grants to research institutions like the University of Vermont has been blocked. The plundering of Americans' data at the Treasury Department by Elon Musk and friends has been blocked. The mass firing of federal workers, blocked. And we await decisions in other cases, like the gutting of the Department of Education, unconstitutional and illegal. And in the past 2 days alone, I have had to sue the Trump administration twice. Thursday, over an appalling and blatantly unconstitutional voter disenfranchisement executive order. And yesterday, I had to sue the Trump administration for trying to gut the Department of Libraries and other agencies. To uphold the Constitution of the United States. And because I believe in America, I believe in its structure of democracy, the three branches of government, federalism, which preserves the sovereignty of the great state of Vermont, and of course, freedom. Do not despair, Vermont. Our country is strong. In this country, designed to be of the people, by the people, for the people, there are no kings. There are no kings. Our project for the next year and a half is to keep using our power to stand up for the rule of law, for our great nation, for democracy, and for each other. The midterm elections will come, and I truly believe through the chaos and disrespect of sacred American values, the voters will restore sanity to Congress. And yes, and that is why Donald Trump is moving so quickly and so destructively, because he knows on Election Day 2026, his power will sunset. May it be so, and may freedom ring. Let freedom ring!
Wow, pretty powerful speech there from Attorney General Charity Clark. Yeah, oh yeah. Oh yeah, she was definitely into it big time, and the crowd. And, you know, interesting in the crowd, they were pretty loud as far as cheering her on. But I think the comment about the libraries got one of the loudest cheers about the going after the libraries. We've seen several letters to the editor in our local paper on that subject. So thanks for sending that along, Henry. And that can be captured at our site. And we should thank Orca Media, and I believe that is Onion River Communication Association. Anyway, ORCA, O-R-C-A, for providing us with that tape.
Right, and that link is in our links for all those speakers that were up. And the sound quality on this one was not as good as earlier sound quality, but I thought her speech was a very good one. And the problem with the sound was that it was raining quite hard in Montpelier, and the sound system kept blowing circuit breakers because of the rain.
Wow.
And so they went to an alternate backup system to finish out the speakers.
Well, you and I know what it's like dealing with quirky sound systems at a live event. It could be a real challenge.
Yes. I visited with the sound guy who was who was rushing around and putting plastic bags over things.
Well, I'm sure you were helping out when you weren't taking photos, Henry. Hey, how about moving along to our guest today? Raluca has joined us in the studio, and I'm going to bring up her mic right now. I'm going to introduce you to Henry Swayze, who you're hearing on the other line. Thanks for stopping by.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm excited to be here.
Yeah, we've had a lot of guests the last week or so. Yeah,
we're on to practical stuff. Thanks for joining us.
And how about if we start, Raluca, with a little background of how you ended up here at the law school in South Royalton?
Of course. So I actually moved from Florida in May. I received my undergraduate degree from the University of Florida and then was looking for a change of scenery, and Vermont Law's great energy program brought me to the beautiful state of Vermont.
Well, I imagine you had to qualify. I guess you did pretty well there as a Gator down in Florida.
Yeah, I mean, I'd like to say so, you know, they let me in. So I'm in my first year at Vermont Law. I'm trying to get my JD and my master's in energy regulation and law and hopefully be part of the good change.
Yeah, and you know, we need a lot of good change. Go ahead, Henry.
You're a brave soul to be swimming upstream in this this rush of Trumpisms.
Yeah, I mean, everybody has to do what they can, and there's a lot of us, you know. It was nice being at the protest and seeing all the friendly faces.
Right, that's where I first officially met Raluca, on the way out from the protest after sending the a lot of signatures went to the governor from down here in South Royalton. Asking him to stand up, and maybe he should have a sit down with the attorney general. She could prep him a little bit. So Raluca's here to talk about a couple subjects, and who knows where we'll range from there. But one is about a project that's been going on in a number of places for a number of years, but it's coming back to our area, and that is the Window Dressers Project. And then we might also talk about a thermal what would you call it? Thermal, as far as the town of South Royalton tonight?
More so a thermal workshop that's being held at the high school, just to kind of gauge people's opinions and hopefully see what people are thinking, whether it would be a good fit for South Royalton or not.
Yeah, so we'll get that into the second part. But let's talk about how we can, you know, there's a lot of weatherization, at least while there's still funding. Weatherization and energy efficient projects have been going on. Of course, we've mentioned Efficiency Vermont and Capstone over the years that we've been doing this show. But let's get into the nuts and bolts of the window dresser program and how it's going to operate in our area.
Right. So Window Dressers is a big nonprofit organization. They do a lot of work in northern New England, so New Hampshire, Vermont. And it's basically a volunteer-driven organization that installs and builds these thermal window inserts. So it's basically a wooden, like, pine wood frame that's covered with, like, a shrink wrap film and, like, layered with foam around the edges, so it can easily be placed in like renter apartments, or if you're a homeowner, it works for pretty much anybody that has windows in their home. And it saves individuals heating costs, lowers fossil fuel consumption, lowers CO2 emissions. So overall, a great win for low to no cost.
And makes the area near the window a lot more comfortable to sit in, I think.
Yes, definitely. Definitely saves on heating and makes it warmer inside.
Yeah,
and as Henry and I have commented, you know, we have some of the oldest housing stock in the United States. In other words, leaky, drafty places, and not just with low on income houses, but, you know, people of all stripes. So this type of, like you say, low or no cost way to tighten up the windows is pretty amazing. And, of course, the community aspect of all gathering together and working on these.
Right. So we are planning our White River Valley build. So it's a bunch of cities. I'm the East coordinator. So I am the coordinator for South Royalton, Royalton, and Tunbridge. And then we have two other coordinators that are encompass Randolph, Braintree, Brookfield, Bethel, and Rochester. And we're going to come together in Bethel in October that's when we call the community build is happening. So the way we keep these inserts low to no cost is we ask that the people purchasing the windows donate as much time as they're available to and bring friends, family, you know, neighbors. And so we kind of cover the labor costs that way.
So there could be.
I might say that Todd and I worked on the window dressing program quite a number of years ago for the town library and the town offices.
It was the town hall and the library. No, we didn't get around to the town offices, although that weatherization project is going to happen there, but windows are not part of it. And just so folks know, if you were to go get an energy audit and get a report on what's happening in your house, windows would not be at the top of the list. So this is something where, as Raluca was saying, very low cost to add that extra layer. You could still see out your window and everything else. But the amount of energy being lost in other parts of your home, in the attic and in the basement, et cetera, and a lot of air sealing that goes on in those two places, is up front and center. So this is a way to sort of, on a DIY basis, to kind of get that third link in place. Another thing I wanted to ask Raluca about, and I think, and this is about, to go back to your point, Henry, a lot of those inserts that we made probably 12 years ago are, the frames are hanging in there, but they have other issues. But I think maybe there's going to be a repair aspect as well.
Yes, definitely. For the individuals that already have the older window frames, and if the seal is broken or if that foam is starting to come off, we are offering repairs for around $15 an insert. And it's going to be at the community build in October. And people can bring these old frames in whatever state they might be, and we'll work on getting them back up to shape.
Wow. Sounds like a plan. Henry?
Excellent. Yeah, and I might just say Todd's point that windows are not top of the list, and they aren't top of the list only because windows are so darned expensive if you're putting brand new ones in, whereas doing an insert like this takes you a long ways to the effectiveness of brand new windows without spending all that money. So I think I remember back then that there was a quote that for every square foot and a half of window dressing you put in, you saved, I think it was a gallon of fuel oil.
Wow.
Heating your house over the winter. And if you do most of your windows, that turns into a lot of gallons.
I'm counting up the square footage that we have here in our summer porch, even though it's kind of winter and spring. These are pretty good sized windows. Maybe the station needs to show up at the window dressing and tighten things up.
Yeah, we would love to have you. I mean, with what Henry was saying, with the window inserts installed, what would normally be a 47-degree home turns to 70 degrees. So great. It really preserves the warmth inside. And also, the inserts themselves typically pay for themselves within 1 to 2 heating seasons with how much you're saving on heating costs. So...
impressive. So how did you, being a first-year student, I mean, I know what it's like in a weird way years ago to be a first-year student with all the demands and getting used to, constitutional law and torts and property and all the rest of that. How do you find time then to volunteer and head up or at least be a representative on a project like this?
Well, I participated. I'm involved in the Environmental Justice Law Society and Energy Law Society on campus, and I think being in touch with your community and the actual present needs in your community is a big part of good change. You know, advocating for these things locally is like, I mean, this is my home for the next 3 years, so.
Hopefully longer,
yeah.
If you like it, you could stay.
Hopefully, if I find a job, I would love to stay. I think I participated in a build locally and last semester and last October. And I loved it. A lot of students showed up. A lot of community members showed up. And we found that there was a need and a want in Royalton. And so no better time to do it like the present time.
No, couldn't agree more. And so much. I don't think they're doing too many window dresser builds in Florida.
No, definitely not. We have different issues.
Yeah. Yeah, right. Different issues. How to save energy right. when there's air conditioning
keep
everywhere.
Keep the AC inside.
Keep the AC inside, right. Henry, any other more comments, questions? So as far as this is down the road, when the build is happening, as it gets closer, maybe we'll have you back and remind us about the timing and the dates and the towns, et cetera. Will this all be centered in one location, the build, or spread out through all those towns?
So basically the White River Valley will all, the build will be in Bethel, likely. We're trying to have it during Indigenous Peoples Weekend because we know a lot of people have off that time. So it'll be 5 to 7 days and basically all the towns that I listed will come together and we'll just build a lot of inserts.
Yeah, you know what would be great? Yeah. You're probably planning this already, is to get, you know, we got a pretty nice flyer from an event happening at Bale this weekend, to have those flyers up all in the participating towns. Obviously, energy committees that are in those towns will let people know. And you probably need a pretty big space. Maybe this might be happening either at the big town hall or maybe over at the school, although if you need to be there every day of the week, school will be in session.
Yeah, we're definitely looking at our options, and yes, flyers will be everywhere coming soon. We're printing them this week, so folks will definitely have my contact information as well as the other town coordinators' contact informations if they would like to order, or if they want more information, we'll likely also have a information session at Bale.
Yeah, well, Henry, I'm already counting. Henry's going to be there.
So. I would put a plug in too for participating with this, because it's a way of feeling that you're doing something and doing it with your neighbors. And I think that that's a key to chasing away the gloom and doom, as well as this is a very, it's low tech, and it is I didn't even hardly buy anything. It must not be any good, but it does take labor. And so as many hands-on hours as you can have, and if it's well organized with kind of assembly line of production, it's quite fun. So I encourage people to join in just for the good of their soul, quite separate of whether they have windows that are feeling leaky to them.
And this certainly is a nonpartisan. So I'm having this sort of dreamy vision of, some volunteers standing next to each other. The one is wearing a Greenpeace hat, and right next to him is someone wearing a MAGA hat. But they want to make sure that they're saving fuel and saving money, because that's what thrifty Vermonters do.
Definitely. And it's a lot of fun, you know, it's a building and everybody can do something, can partake in one of the processes in making these inserts. So there's truly is a job for anybody, and we welcome all.
All right. Looking forward to that. Hey, why don't we shift gears to the thermal workshop that's going on tonight? Tell us a little bit about this, not only the workshop, but what the future plan could be here in the town of South Royalton. We did speak with a previous guest about it, but some folks are listening today that may not have been listening back 3 weeks ago or so.
Right. So we are looking at installing a thermal energy network that links the school and the town, and to kind of harness energy that's right now is just kind of sitting here being untapped. And so the thermal energy network workshop that's happening tonight at the White River Valley High School from 5:30 to 7:30 will just, it's neighbors talking to neighbors, trying to figure out what we can do here in South Royalton, and it's a chance for residents to inform the decision making for this new network. I mean, if you oppose it, please come, and we'd love to talk to you. If you are for it, please come. You know, we'd like to hear what you think and how you think it should be implemented. Current choices for heating our buildings is expensive, and it's also harmful for the environment. And like I said, a bunch of the heat is currently being wasted and untapped. So if we capture and repurpose this thermal energy, we can provide heating and cooling that not only saves money, but it also saves energy. And it's truly for everyone that's living in South Royalton. So, yeah.
Can you fill us in a little bit about what kind of energy you're tapping into and why that's efficient?
Right. So it's thermal energy. So it's coming from the ground, and it I'm not a scientist, so I can't exactly explain the scientific part of it, but it's basically tapping into the energy networks that are coming from the ground and harnessing them to power our schools, our towns, the things we need energy for.
Right. And it makes sense, especially where a lot of buildings are close together.
Exactly.
Because it becomes cost effective in those situations.
And you know, another thing that makes a lot of sense, of course, probably one of the biggest energy users in the town is the Vermont Law and Graduate School.
Right.
Even though they do have solar panels and are probably pretty efficient and weatherized. So having a school with clinics and societies that actually have a lot of information, not only the legal information, the planning information, but also have access to the technical information to pull this off, kind of puts South Royalton in a unique position to potentially benefit from a service like this.
Right.
Yeah.
And also for folks that are worried about, you know, childcare, we are providing childcare and food.
Oh, there you go.
Event.
Boy, you doubled the attendance.
There's free pizza and childcare, and the event's happening from 5:30 to 7:30 at the high school.
Wow. Who's providing that, the childcare and the food?
It's a mixture of 350 node, bail, and then two of the students at Vermont Law School received a fellowship grant. So they're spearheading this project.
I think I might know what that fellowship grant is. We've had students help this station out a long, long time ago with that. Well, Raluca, boy, thank you so much for sharing all this information and your enthusiasm about everything, it seems like.
Yeah, I mean, I'm happy to be here. I think this is a great town, and I think that a lot of positive change is happening. So it's a great community.
All right. Well, yeah, let's all rally together and try to stay positive. Henry, any closing remarks before Raluca moves on?
Well, I agree with you completely about the positive of working with people one-on-one. That when you have a project and it's something that is for the good of everybody, I can't talk to him because he thinks this goes away, and it turns into something that's constructive instead of lining up in your camps and shooting at each other. And I think that's the only way we're going to move ahead in society is by doing that kind of person-to-person engagement. So hats off to all of your programs to try to draw people into engagement, because I think that's the key to moving ahead.
Definitely.
Don't need the gridlock of Washington. Got to do an end run on it.
We'll do our best. All right. Well, thanks a lot, Raluca. You're more than welcome to hang out for the remainder of the program. We're going to cover a few more things that Henry's lined up, and I've got some things from the newspaper here. Henry, where should we shift to now?
Well, I want to be sure that we put in a plug, and this is being promoted by Vermont 350, heads up, and it's also a renewable energy network. And the Climate Council has been given the position of being the legal system for fixing Vermont's climate, and they have highly focused on carbon sequestration, avoiding carbon emissions, and sequestration would be in that. Although I think the sequestration part has been ignored a little too much, and the Climate Council is having a public engagement sessions. And it's very important that the public show up for these events, even if you don't have a lot of background information on it, because the people who are being disrupted, people like fuel dealers who under the current rules are supposed to be making houses more efficient and getting points so that they can continue to deliver fossil fuels, so that they really don't have the skills to get houses more efficient, and it's counterproductive. They're selling less oil, and it doesn't work for their business model very well either. And one of the things that moving forward we're going to have to do is figure out a better mechanism for reducing fossil fuel usage, which is still between natural gas and propane and fuel oil is how most Vermont households are being heated. And it's a very carbon-intensive way of going on. So in the notes, there is the there are the sessions that are coming up, and there's one of them, or there are two of them, that you can attend by Zoom. And then if you want to go in person, there are meetings in Hardwick and Hinesburg, St. Albans, Bennington, Bella Falls, Barry, and Rutland. And that's, I guess if we look at the close by ones, they're still an hour away. So there is one of the virtual sessions, ones that you can register for, and the registration is up on our GreenZine links. And that's tonight at April 10th at 5 p.m.
I see that. 5:30 is what you have on this note, but in front of me.
Okay. Well, I'm actually seeing two different times, but if you went
better
to
be
the
early.
Registration,
yeah, go find. Yeah, it'll tell you.
it'll tell you. And so that's in the links. And then there's one, a second one, which is also, I think a week from, it's another Thursday and it's at noon. So I want to flag that. And if you want more information, there's also from Vermont 350, I think it's in here. Let me just look. I think that I posted that as well. Not sure I did. If you want to kind of get pre-armed for this, yes, I will add that it's not in this current. Oh yeah, here we are. So there are talking points which you can pay attention to, and that could be helpful. There is a 350 volunteer, Steve Crowley, who would offer to chat with anyone who might have questions or want more information. Hmm. And I've served on the Vermont Energy, the Electricity Committee of 350 with him. It's a very knowledgeable person, lives in Burlington. So I'm just, you know, it's going to be the fuel dealers there saying, oh, no, we can't do this. And the governor and his people who have built the case for this being way too expensive and we better abandon the idea or kick the can down the road, if not abandon it. And the reality is that it doesn't have to be expensive, and things like the thermal energy network are ways of saving money and converting this, but they're just one of the pieces of silver buckshot that are needed. And I think the important thing is that we support the Climate Council and that we ask them to be real about their evaluation. They're currently using the figures that the state has given them for what our greenhouse gas footprint is, and it is not accurate. So
funny numbers.
All the law,
yeah. Hey, just
it's a funny number.
Yeah, just to be clear on the timing, in case later today, if you're not going to the thermal energy workshop here, which also starts at 5:30, I'm seeing in your notes, Henry, that a little training session for those who want to be in touch with Steve Crowley, 5 o'clock is the training session at when you register, and then 5:30 is when the actual program takes off. So that's the difference in time.
Very good.
Yeah,
I see that finding the fine print that I've missed.
Yeah. So we've got about 9 minutes or so to go, and I know that I'm looking at this book that you referenced earlier by Timothy Snyder, and then I have maybe something towards the close. Do you want to move on to talk about On Tyranny?
Sure.
This is one rare place where the administration, as far as ticking off the things that that qualify for tyranny, might actually get a pretty high grade on.
Yes. Yes, they're being very successful at being tyrannical.
Yeah.
So Timothy Snyder's book turns out it's now a bestseller. It's a little thin book, and I wasn't aware of it until I was in Montpelier at the rally, and there was a woman there who had built herself a great big circle with a high-wheeler bike in the middle of it, old-fashioned bicycle and posters. And she had a campaign to take things from the book and start a local discussion with neighbors and passerbys, and made yard signs out of them. And we may have her as a guest, as I said earlier. And I've just picked out, I think there are 20 items in the book that are gone into detail on. And I just picked out a few of them on pushing back against tyranny. And number one is, do not obey in advance. And that's what's happening so many places. Government workers get emails that say resign, and people dutifully resign. And so that number one is, don't obey in advance. Sort of sniff it out and decide whether this is something that's real or something you really want to participate in. And then number two in this list, also I thought was a good one, defend institutions. So you have people like the Secretary of State, the
Attorney General.
The Attorney General, there we are, who is defending institutions, and doing it legally. And I think it's very important to support people, whether it's police or fire or town councils or any of the cooperative efforts that are institutions to try to make the world a better place. And then number four in this list that I chose was, take responsibility for the face of the world. So I think we stand back and say, oh, well, we can't do anything. It's just too much. And that's part of the Trump deal, is just keep so many balls in the air that no one knows which way to look, and they drop them all. And I think that taking responsibility for the face of the world, the fact that the World Health Organization is getting the rug pulled out from underneath it, that the government programs to prevent starvation in other countries that are a tiny bit of our, all the stuff that the feds are doing, I think are only, that they're trying to save money on, are only 12 or 14% of the entire U.S. budget. And yet we're focusing on those things and destroying all of that infrastructure. So you need to stand up take responsibility for the face of the world, not just our backyard.
Well, I'm going to give I'm going to give a local example of getting ahead and not sort of giving in. We know that there's heightened scrutiny by the federal government about immigration, and a lot of deportations are happening, people being pulled out of their jobs off the street with no notice from ICE, that you may want to remind your local body. For instance, most towns around here are run by, in fact, all towns are run by select board, and the Windsor County Sheriff's Department should be reminded to keep doing a good job locally, but it is not in their purview, and the select board is for instance, of Tunbridge, is paying, as many other towns are paying, funds to be for the services of the Windsor County Sheriff, that they do not want them spending their time collaborating with ICE, rounding up who they think might be an illegal immigrant or maybe not. That would be a way just to remind leadership that just because you're hearing a lot of a word I don't get to use very much, bloviating out of Washington, doesn't mean that you need to go along with it, particularly when it's violating local and state law.
Yes, bloviating. I don't think that makes it into the newspaper protocol that everything has to be fifth grade level or below in order to be in print.
Well, that's not the newspaper.
You moved up to high school.
We try not to bloviate too much here on the radio. Hey, Henry, we're winding up here. I've got one more thing. I've got a piece of music I'm going to play. You know what I'm going to do real quick is acknowledge our underwriters, if I can find the sheet. Raluca has been hanging in here and listening to the show. I guess she is enjoying herself. Greenzine has been brought to you today, and I'm going to give you a little bit more information about these folks. Wit and Grit is a breakfast and lunch restaurant in the town of Randolph. Solarfest is coming up. Henry, I hope you're going to be there. Maybe we could even do a workshop. Who knows? That will be on the 8th, 8th, 9th, and 10th in Brandon, Vermont. The music lineup is over the top, and I say that from a personal connection. There'll be music on all 3 days there. There'll be camping, etc. Lots of yummy food, all that over at Solarfest. In fact, WFVR is a sponsor, is an official sponsor of Solarfest. First Branch Coffee Company helping us out this week. Upper Pass Beer Company, Daniel Leibowitz, Royal Trail Works, Solaflect, and the organization that's helping with tonight's event at the high school, Bale. Find out more about them at balevt.org. All right, Henry, I'm going to put a little music underneath and turn it back to you.
Yeah, I would just put a plug in to go and enjoy those photographs. There is a lovely artwork in some of them. There is a dove with a key to peace and prosperity held in its mouth on one of the signs. And it says, hands off Palestine. So there's all nature of groups that came together, and I rather enjoyed taking those pictures and the people in many cases that are holding them.
Yeah. So, you know, thinking of people getting out and making their voices heard and banding together, talking to each other one-on-one, but also being in groups, maybe next week we'll start off the show with Patti Smith's Power to the People.
Yes. All right.
All right, Henry. Hey, looking forward to next week. Thanks for lining up so much stuff. And, of course, thanks to our guest, Raluca, for joining us. And hope to see you at other events around town. This is Keith Murphy, who's performing tomorrow night down at the Putney Next Stage Series. He's a great musician from Newfoundland. Let him take us on out of here. You've been listening to Greenzine at WFVR-LP in South Royalton, Vermont. See you next week, Henry.
See you next week, all.
Je donnerai ma fille.